growing love in our hearts for others. I pray, God, that you would touch us this morning and give us a real sense of your presence. And we offer you all of these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very encouraging text for me, because it is a very difficult thing to minister healing to people by praying for them. It's not hard to pray. It's not hard to lay hands on somebody or encourage them. What's hard is when you pray and nothing happens. Have you ever prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed? Okay, well, if you aren't nodding your heads or saying yes, that means you've never prayed for somebody, or you just don't want to admit that it doesn't always work. Interestingly, we're going to share a little bit more about this in a minute, Jesus himself was not always 100% successful in healing people. And so for us, who are probably a little bit less than Jesus, we also experience problems in doing what we feel like God's called us to do. I want to remind you of the words that were up on the wall a moment ago. Jesus said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." I want to share a story with you to give you an illustration of what I would call the best possible scenario. What we really hope for when we pray for people, particularly people who don't know Jesus, people who don't know the Lord, what is our hope for them when we take the risk and begin to pray for them? A few months ago, there was a big celebration that was planned at a Christian resort, and they were just opening it up and having a dedication ceremony. Believe it or not, this is something that happens in Cambodia, that Christians are beginning to do these kinds of things, and I was invited to attend. I wasn't sure why I was invited, because I didn't know the people. And so my wife and I went along with some of our Cambodian friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. We went to this dedication ceremony. And so they had food and they had some music and they had some different things going on. It was a long, protracted thing, which is also very common there. And we thought it would be a couple of hours and we'd be gone. Well, after about 3 hours, we had to leave and went back to our house. Some guests were coming, and we had to be there to receive them. But our friends, our Christian brothers and sisters who were there, who know us very closely, they stayed on, and they heard an amazing story. The man who is the head of the household that bought this property and was developing a Christian resort, he said that some months before, maybe even more than a year, more than 2 years possibly, I don't know exactly the time frame, evidently I had come to his house and prayed for him to get healed of cancer. And I could not recall ever going to someone's house specifically to pray for them to be healed of cancer. And he went on to relay this story, how I had come there and he was desperate and he was this chronic cancer, it was giving him great pain and suffering, and apparently I had shared the gospel with him and asked him if he believed that God could heal him, and I prayed for him. And he was miraculously healed. And then his whole family came to know the Lord. And so then, of course, a couple years later, they're opening this Christian resort and giving all this praise and glory to God. And I was shocked when I heard that, and I asked them, well, who is this person? Where do they live? And none of it made sense. And it's probably because we do a lot of praying for people and not too many of them receive something extraordinary, miraculous. And so this is really a picture of the best case that we hope for when we are sharing the gospel and when we're praying for people, is that not only do they receive healing, but they turn their hearts and their lives to the Lord, not just the person being healed, but their whole family. So this is what we always hope for. This is what we pray for. And even when we don't know what's happening, God seems to come in and do it anyway. I wish that this would happen every time that I prayed for somebody. But sadly, it doesn't happen every time. When Jesus was speaking about according to your faith, there were two different instances that people were miraculously healed by him. In a similar way, Jesus didn't know what was happening while it was happening. The one was the woman with the issue of blood, and she pushed through the crowd, pursued Jesus until she could touch the hem of his robe. And when she did that, she believed that she would be healed. And Jesus didn't know what was happening. There were people jostling around him and bumping into him as they were walking along the road. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Whoa, who touched me?" And everyone was shocked because, well, there's a lot of people touching you, Jesus. And he goes, no. I felt power leave me. And then there was this woman kneeling beside him, afraid that she had broken some special protocol and didn't ask permission before she got healed, but there she was, whole, made whole. And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. It's all good. You've been healed because of your faith." Now think about that woman. What faith did Jesus exercise for that woman to be healed? Was there any? He had no clue what had just happened. I submit to you that it is not the faith of the person praying for somebody that brings healing, but the person who's receiving that brings the healing. How much faith do we need to be the person giving? I think all you need is enough faith to walk up to that person and say, "Can I pray for you?" If you have that much faith, I believe it's enough faith for that person to receive whatever it is that they have faith for, that whatever it is that they can believe God for. That's all that's required on our part. And so when you think about these people who have great healing ministries, amazing gifts of healing, these people are no more powerful in the things of God than you and I are. It's only because the people that have come to them have come to them in faith, and so they are able to be healed. I mentioned before that Jesus didn't always experience success. There was one time that he went back to his hometown in Nazareth, and they had all heard about all the things that he was doing, all the miracles and everything, but Jesus said this, "I could do no healing, no miracles among them because of their unbelief." You know, it's interesting. I think this is the only place, and maybe there's only two or three places in all Scripture where it says Jesus could not. We think of Jesus as all-powerful, and he is. We think of Jesus as being able to do anything, but in these instances, he could not. It wasn't that he would not. He could not. And so why could he do no miracles in his hometown? Because of their unbelief. Now, this relates directly to things that we experience in Cambodia, and it relates to things you experience right here. That without faith, the working of miracles and the healing of diseases and sicknesses will not happen because they cannot happen. And so we have seen this happen over and over in our lives, and sometimes we think, "Oh, well, what did I do wrong that this person has not gotten healed? What is wrong with my faith that nothing has happened here?" Remember what Jesus said about how much faith it is required to move a mountain? How much did he say? Now, let me ask you, do you think that that analogy shows you it requires great faith or little faith? That's pretty small. I mean, that's the smallest thing that Jesus could think of. And it's like us saying, oh, it's the size of a molecule or something like that in our, you know, mentality here. The smallest thing that they knew in their lives was this mustard seed. It was very small. That's all that's required to move a mountain. And so I guarantee you that you have enough faith to do miracles. I guarantee you have enough faith to pray for the sick and see them healed. I guarantee you there is not a limit for what you can do in obeying God and extending the kingdom of God to people through these miracles. The question is, do the people that you're ministering to have faith? Do they believe? And so what is the answer to see more miracles, more healings, more signs and wonders, those things that will draw people into the kingdom of God? What's the key? Well, we know it is belief, but how do people come to a point of really having faith to receive from God? Well, there is something that builds faith. Where does faith come from according to the Bible? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is the beginning of faith. The beginning of faith is when someone hears the Word of God. If they've never heard this Word of God, they've never heard the good news, there cannot be faith for people to receive from the Lord. They don't have it. It's not their fault. They're not being mean-spirited. They're not being contentious or anything like that. They just simply have no belief. But when people begin to receive the Word of God, there's an opportunity for faith to begin to grow. And so Jesus used a parable and an analogy to describe this. He said, a farmer went out and sowed seed. And the seed fell on the road and fell in rocky soil and fell in the weeds and some fell into good ground. Remember that parable? Yeah. The disciples couldn't figure out what he was talking about, and so Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. This is the analogy that Jesus used of planting. So those of you who have ever planted anything, do you plant seeds and cover it with soil and then immediately expect to see something come out of the ground? It takes time. Probably it takes the right temperature, sunlight, it takes water, it takes these different elements to come together for there to be a germination of that seed and then growth unto maturity where there's actually fruit that can be harvested. I don't know what it is, but sometimes we have this idea that you go out and preach the gospel and you should somehow miraculously have all these people that say, yes, I'm going to receive right now. There are people who are in that situation because somebody has sowed seed long before that. Remember Jesus sending out the disciples, the 2 by 2, the 12, and then the 72? When they came back to Jesus, what was their report? Oh, even the demons are subject to us. Amazing. They came back with glowing reports, and what did Jesus do? He calmed them down and said, listen, wonderful, it's awesome, but you are reaping where somebody else has sown. So here's a cool thing that's going on. I think I have this on one of the slides. Why don't you flip through? We'll see if we can find it. We already did that one. This verse in John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And then let's skip down to, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing. There it is again. Can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And so, really what's happening is there is a work of preparation in the hearts of unbelievers everywhere. Doesn't matter where we live, in what nation, what people, that there is a work of preparation that's going on, and it is the Father who has been working. And in another scripture, Jesus said, my Father is always working from the beginning of time until now. Do you believe that the Father is preparing people's hearts to receive the seed of his word? I think the most reprobate person we can think of, and some of you have been watching the news and all the Trump trials, and you can think of a few of these people. I'm not going to say which ones. you can think of some of these. Even in their hearts, God is working, and he is preparing them for them to receive this word of God so that they can come to faith one day. In fact, maybe there's seeds already planted in these folks. That brings a lot of comfort to me because we're working in a country where they have no concept of invisible God. All of the gods of Cambodian people are represented by something they can see, and we use the word idols to describe them. Idols of wood, idols of metal, idols of concrete, different idols of gold and silver, everything you can imagine. It's not that they think that that idol's going to get up and move. It's just that they see this as a focal point of the power behind it. But this idol itself actually is a receptacle of some power. And so they worship these things that they see. And so when we begin to talk about a God that they cannot see, an invisible God, which we know from Scripture, this is true, that that outside of Jesus revealing himself to the world, nobody can see God, nor has ever seen him. When we begin to talk about this kind of God, it's like we're talking another language. They can't understand what an invisible God would be like. And so we share the gospel about this invisible God who created everything and all of the problems of sin and death that came into the world. And Jesus came to be the answer of God for sin and to give us eternal life. And then we ask them, do you want to believe in God? I can tell you, it's a hard thing for them to do. And most people will not be able to because they do not yet have faith. But the fact that we're sharing these seeds with them means that some of these seeds are going into their hearts and being planted in there. And one day, given the right environment, given the right watering, these seeds will begin to grow up and produce fruit, and they will come to faith. But we cannot expect an immediate harvest of something that we've just planted. And so, a big part of our ministry is sowing seeds. The Father does this great work of preparation. The fields are ready. Some of them are in process. They're kind of hard. You know, some hearts are like the road, and some are weedy, and some are like in the rocky soil. That's true. We don't know who's who. God never told us to be soil testers. He said, just get out there and throw the seed. So we go out and we share the gospel abundantly. And what's our expectation? We pray, God, will this seed be planted in their hearts? And will you bring opportunities for this seed to grow? So do you understand this? Your friends, your neighbors, your family, your moms and dads, your children, brothers and sisters, those who have never bowed their knee to the Lord. God is at work in their hearts. God is at work, and his will is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's his will. And he is preparing them for you to sow seed. Oh, maybe you've sowed seed. So what happens if you've got a plot of ground in a garden and you've thrown out some seed and you're standing there watching and nothing's happening? What do you do? Well, I think I better just throw some more seed on there. Is that the answer? No, it really doesn't mean that you need to say the same thing over again, but they need watering. And I believe this is the key concept I want you to go away from here today with, and that is we are not called just to sow seed, but to water. And watering seed requires an engagement with people in their everyday life for them to experience God. So people that do not have the faith to believe for salvation may have enough faith to believe for something you want that you can pray for them. And that we should not wipe the slate clean and write them off and say, oh, they're so hard, I don't know how we're ever going to reach them. Believe that their hearts are like soil that have seeds in them already. What can I do to water that seed? It's time to have them experience God. I'll tell you another story that is more like what is real life for us. The first one was an amazing story, and I wish it would happen all the time. But I got a call one day from a colleague, another missionary, quite a bit younger than me. And this missionary had gone through a training that I had done for other missionaries to be effective in sharing the gospel, making disciples, and church planting. And so this missionary called me and said, there's a man who is the grandfather of my house cleaner, who lives in your province, and he is demon-possessed. Can you go and minister to him? And I thought, I could. But then I thought, how much better if this person who has the connection goes and ministers to him, instead of myself as a completely unknown person. So I shared that with this missionary, and she said, I've never done that before. What was it that she's never done? She'd never cast out demons before. And I said, well, it's really simple. It's really simple because you can't do it. I mean, that's the first thing you know. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're praying for healing or any kind of miracle. The first step is, I can't do this. Again, if you don't realize that, you're already off on the wrong track. You can't do this. Oh, but... well, what should I do then? Well, I said, you can't do it, but God can. And all you need to do is show up. All you need to do is speak to that demon and say, get out of here. Do you believe that God is powerful? Yeah. Do you believe that God is able to deliver that man? Yes. All right, well, you have enough faith. Go there and just do it. Oh, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right. I said, what do you mean, do it right? Just go do it. Just say, get out of here in Jesus' name. And I said, if there is absolutely no faith in their hearts at all, then it probably won't happen. But if they have even any inkling of faith, that demon has to leave. So I said, you could share the gospel with that family before you, you know, cast a demon out if you want. I said, that's a good way to do it. So she said, all right, I'll do it. So she went along with her coworker, who I was also one of my trainees, and they went there and they showed up and they just shared a little bit of the gospel, and they weren't very good at it. They said, oh, we don't know the language that well. I said, it doesn't matter. Just share what you know. And so they shared the gospel, and then they asked the man, do you want to be delivered? Well, this was a really interesting part of it, because this man had been so demonized that he was curled up like a snake. I mean, physically, you could see the impact of that demon in his life. He was curled up and he couldn't move. He was bedridden. And he was listening as they shared the gospel with his wife. This man was like 70 years old, so he was quite an old man. His wife, who was about 10 years younger, and his daughter, and they said, yeah, we could tell that they're really interested in what they were hearing. In other words, there was some level of faith that was already coming to them. And so she asked the man, do you want to be delivered from this demon? Do you want to become well? He said, yes. And so he agreed. And really, for people a demon possessed, that's all it needs to be required is that they agree for us to get rid of the thing. He said, yes, I really want this. So they just did what I told them. They said, all right, demon, leave in Jesus' name. And they said, it was miraculous. The demons left. Amen. I said, yes, that's what happens when you tell them to leave. They have to leave. And the man straightened out. Now, the wife saw that. She says, all right, you know, this is amazing. Jesus is powerful. They said, do you want to become a believer? She said, oh, not yet. It's like, okay, all right. So they called me on the phone and told me everything that happened. I said, see, God will use you. They said, yeah, but they haven't become a believer yet. I said, no, but you've just planted the seeds. Not only have you planted the seeds, but they have experienced the power of God. You've poured a generous amount of water on that seed. I'll bet you it's growing right now. So a couple weeks later, I followed up and went there to that place. I wanted to see what's going on. And I saw the man, he was still laying on his bed. Not curled up. And the woman was there taking care of him. And I said, ah, oh, you know, I thought they prayed that the demons would leave. And I asked the man, are the demons still here? He said, no, they're gone. But he's sick. And so I thought, oh, okay. He had enough faith to be delivered, but not enough faith to be healed. See, there's a level of faith. We don't know how much faith people have. But in his case, it was enough for part of it, but not the whole thing. So I shared the gospel again very clearly from the creation story all the way through Christ. Shared this story with them, and I asked them, do you want to believe in Jesus? And both the father and the mother and the young and their daughter, who was probably 35 years old, they all said, yes, we want to believe. I said, okay, this is about repentance. I went through the whole thing with them, how to believe. And they all accepted the Lord. I said, well, let me tell you a story about Jesus and his power to heal. And I saw this man didn't have the faith for healing. They had the faith to receive salvation and forgiveness of sins, but he still was sick and laying on the bed. And so I shared this story about, I don't remember which one, but Jesus healing the demoniac. No, Jesus healing the man that was paralyzed or whatever. And so he said, I said, well, do you want me to pray for you? He said, yes, okay. I said, do you believe that you'll be healed? He said, well, we'll see. I said, well, okay. I said, you really need to believe. I said, just look at what Jesus did for you. You were delivered from these demons. He has the power to heal you too. Oh, okay. Well, I prayed for him and he didn't get healed. And I prayed again, he didn't get healed. And it's like, no, nothing. And so I went back two or three times and shared with him and prayed for him. Every time I prayed for him, he's still laying on his bed, skinnier and skinnier. No demons. I asked him, do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes, I believe in Jesus. But no healing. 6 weeks after that, he died. And I went and talked to the woman. I said, I feel really bad because he could have been healed. But I said, you know, as long as you're opening your heart to the Lord, God will continue to do his work in you and your daughter. But this happens all the time. This man never came to the place where he had enough faith to be healed. But he had enough faith to be delivered and to be saved. Well, he's in heaven now. And he's got a new body. It's not the end of the world. But I think we have to take the ministry of healing and miracles in small doses. And don't think that we can just simply walk up to a dead body in a coffin and raise them to life. There's got to be a level of faith for that to be able to happen, and it probably has nothing to do with your faith. If you've never raised the dead, it's probably because you, not because of your faith. Although, how many of you have ever prayed for somebody to be raised from the dead? We don't usually do that. We usually say, oh, time's up. And it'd be great to see it happen. But whatever happens, it's all to be as signs and wonders of God's kingdom. And for that purpose, because whoever we raise from the dead is going to die again. That's reality. It's okay. Because that's our promotion. Right? That's our day of graduation. When we die, that's our day of trading in our old jalopy for a brand new vehicle. So there's not a lot of sadness in that. It's just that God wants to demonstrate his power to an unbelieving world. And it's like pouring water on seeds. And who are the people in your lives that have the seeds of faith been planted because maybe you yourself have planted them there, or you know that others have planted them there? What is it that they have faith to believe for right now? Maybe they're not at that place to say yes to Jesus and make him Lord, but they're at a place for you to pray for their financial situation to improve. Maybe they can allow you to pray for them for that, and they can actually believe for that. Or maybe they can believe enough for some of their little problems in their life to change. You take it step by step, and when God shows his power and he shows his faithfulness to them in those small things, faith will grow. It's like watering the plant. And so it's easy for us to decide that somebody is beyond hope. The Father is always working, and he continues to work right up until now. Do you believe that? In those people that you've been reaching out to, the Father is working right now. He continues to work right up till this present time. Do you believe that? And now it's not the point of us trying to do something that we can't do. And that you can throw up another slide. This is going to be very deep. Get ready. We can't do what we can't do. So nobody ever accused me of being a philosopher, obviously. But it is true. We can't do what we can't do. Nobody's expecting you to do something you can't. But we believe in a God that can. And God wants us to do something. He wants us to believe for something. He wants us to reach out and do something. What is the thing that's going to change the minds of the people that we are, that we love, that we care for? What's going to change their minds from being hard rock, resistant against God, to saying, yes, I believe, finally I believe? It's pouring water. It's looking for those little things that we can believe God for them. There was a woman that I prayed for, and she was very sick, and I shared the gospel. I always share the gospel before I pray, because I want them to know who it is they're going to pray to, or who it is I'm going to pray to. I don't want them to think that I'm praying to some idol or whatever. I want them to know who God is. So I share the gospel in a way they can understand it. Then I pray for them. And I prayed for this woman who was very weak, could hardly sit up. She had, I don't know, she probably had lots of problems in her health. I don't know what they all were. But I started praying for her, or I was just getting ready to pray, and I saw that she had this string around her neck with a little amulet on it. And then she had one around her wrist also with an amulet. And I asked her, I said, what are those strings for? What do they mean? Oh, I went to the pagoda, and the monk, he blessed this and he put it on me so that I could have good health. It's like, whoa, I guess it's really worked well. I said, that's not working. Can't you see it's not working? She says, yeah, I know it's not working. I said, well, here, why don't we just cut those off and you try Jesus? And those two words are words I use over and over and over again, try Jesus. And so she goes, okay, well, clearly they're not working, go ahead. So we cut them off, and And she actually declared that she was, you know, she was believing our message. She wanted to become a true believer. And we cut them off, and I prayed for her. And nothing happened. It's like, oh, shoot. Not again, you know, kind of thing. And so I had a partner with me. We kept praying, and nothing happened. We went home, and next week we came back, and we asked her, well, how's your health doing? Oh, it's just the same. Do you believe in Jesus? And then she says, well, no, if he heals me, I'll believe him. I said, well, no, you got it backwards. You need to believe first, and then you will be healed. Not the other way around. But she just could not believe in his power until she had experienced it. And so we kept going back week after week. Is there something that we can pray for that you can believe for? She'd allow us to pray every time. It didn't matter to her. Go ahead and pray. But is there something that we can pray for you for that you can believe for? And she just would never come up with anything. So we'd pray again and again, and nothing ever happened. And faith hasn't grown. It hasn't borne any fruit. But we keep going back because the seeds are there. And sometime we're going to have an opportunity to water those seeds, and God will show his power to them, and they'll grow, and she will become a believer. And so we don't give up because we've tried one time, or we've invited people to try Jesus just once. People need opportunities to do that over and over. One final story I want to share was also a story of some other missionaries that I'm training and mentoring, and they're working among Muslim Cambodians in the area that we live. And I have personally led only two of these people to the Lord, and because their society is so closed off and so resistant, they don't even dare share their faith with anybody because they'll be run out of town. They'll be run out of the village. So they're secret believers. Well, this family had been ministering to a woman, 50s or something like that, and going to her house and really just getting to know her. And they had begun to share stories about Jesus, stories from the New Testament, about his power, about who he is. And one day, they decided to try this strategy. Well, okay, we planted a lot of seeds. What can we pray for you for? And they asked her, said, well, is there something you need? She said, well, I haven't been sleeping very well. I'm up most of the night. I've got 2 or 3 hours of sleep every night, and that's it. And she says, I'm just tired out. It's like, okay. Well, they said, well, we'll pray for you. And she said, yeah, okay. Well, they prayed for her, and the next day they came back to see how she's doing. She said, I slept all night. It was a miracle. And they came back 2 or 3 days later. Yes, still sleeping all night. God is powerful. It's like, great. So they said, do you want to put your faith in him and believe that he can save you? Forgive your sins? No, not yet. She wasn't ready for that yet. So then some days later, they came back again, and she was sitting in the middle of her living room with a sheet over her, and she had no clothes on. I was like, whoa, what's going on? She says, I can't wear clothes. When I put clothes on, they burn my skin. It's like, oh, shoot, this is a demonic thing happening here. So this couple started talking to her about the power of God, and they shared the story of the demoniac and how he had been healed of all these demons, the legion of demons. Do you believe that Jesus can deliver you from the power of the spirit that's causing you this problem? She said, yes. So they prayed for her, and immediately she went into her room and put clothes on, and she was fine. And it's like, amazing! God has shown his power again. Do you want to believe for salvation? No, I'm not ready yet. It's like, wow, well, how much more does God have to do to prove himself? But faith requires time to grow. In most cases... Some it's miraculous. They just got this grade of faith right away and they believe. But I'm sharing all of this to help you do one thing. That is to have hope. And hope because we, in not giving up, are giving people an opportunity to respond to God in faith in time. Instead of deciding that they're hopeless, we believe that there is hope because God is working. He's always working. He's making a way. He's ready to do a miracle. He just needs the opportunity. And so for all those people that are somewhere on the journey of discovering Jesus, and every one of us are on a journey of discovering the Lord, because it says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We're all on a journey to discover Jesus. We're all at different places on that road. We just have to find where they are on that road and begin walking with them. But this cannot be discerned in the natural realm. We really have to pray and ask God to give us a revelation and discernment about people. Where are they at? What can they believe for? What do they know right now? Do we need to sow more seed into their hearts, or do we need to water it with opportunities to receive the power of God, or what needs to happen? And only God can show you what's the next step for somebody. But he's calling all of us to engage with people. The cynics will say, oh, they're beyond hope. There is no place in the kingdom of God for cynicism. Cynicism is a result of faithlessness. Maybe you have faith for your own salvation, but do we have faith that God is working in someone else? Faith enough to not give up, to keep believing, to try Jesus. So in a country like Cambodia, there are very few seeds that have been sown. So we know it's going to take time to just work at sowing all those seeds and watering them and see what happens. But in a place like this, there's been decades, even centuries, of seeds sown in the hearts of people. And so the question really isn't so much how many more seeds do we need to sow. Maybe there is some that you need to do, but how can we water those seeds by introducing people to the power of God? And if they are on their deathbed and they're sick, they don't have faith to believe enough to be healed, what is it that we can pray for that would be a small step? What small thing can we help them to try Jesus with? And I believe God is ready to do miracles on their behalf if they will just have a little bit of faith. And that faith will grow, it will multiply. One of my favorite songs of the last few months, and I keep listening to it over and over, is the song Waymaker. Have you ever heard that song? Yeah. It's powerful. It's awesome. But we often think about it in terms of ourselves. Thank you, God, that you're the Waymaker, you're the miracle worker. Thank you, God, that you are the promise keeper. The light in the darkness. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not in darkness. Right? So even in the intent of that song, I believe it's not supposed to be that we see ourselves as enjoying all of this, and we do enjoy all of that from God. But more importantly, that those that are in darkness, God is wanting to make a way for them. God is wanting to do a miracle in their hearts, in their lives. He's wanting to keep his promises for them. And so we believe that he is working. He's continually working. He's not going to stop. He never gives up. And so Jesus knew that about his Father, and he said, I can't do anything on my own. I only do what I see my Father doing. And the question is, what's the Father doing in the lives of your loved ones? Don't worry about the person you've never met and go knock on their door like the Jehovah's Witness. You don't need to do that. Just think about the people you know that know you. What is God doing in their lives that there could be a watering of those seeds? How can they experience God? What point in their life can you encourage them to try Jesus on? I believe God's going to show up big time He's going to show up. He's going to do miracles. Some of them will never believe. Don't worry about it. He never believed for faith, for salvation. But even if God shows them his power in little things, we don't know what the outcome's going to be. And so I leave you with this, that God is ready. Are you? God is ready. He's working. He's just waiting for us to say, yes, okay, I'm ready to work with you, Lord. For some of these people to truly, finally experience him. And the ultimate goal, like I said at the beginning, we want to see them come to faith, not just themselves, but their whole family. And I see the day when there'll be dozens of new families in this church because we don't give up on people. Amen. Father, seal this word in our hearts today. Lord, to some degree, we lack the faith to believe that you're working. Because, Lord, we have human eyes and human ears that don't see and hear what you're doing. But, Lord, we also have spiritual eyes and ears that are able to perceive if we would just listen to them, if we would just tap into them, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see what you're doing. And like Jesus, to do what you're doing, to minister to people where they're at. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon each one of us. Lord, for an increase of faith. Lord, faith enough just to simply go to those people and say, you know what, I just feel so bad for you. I want to pray for you. Is it okay? Lord, just the faith enough to engage people. Lord, I know that it's enough. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to see how you're working in every situation. And so, Lord, with these words today, we thank you and we ask you, Lord, to truly plant them in our hearts today. Lord, water those seeds in our hearts so that we could see, God, who you truly are and what you're doing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.